You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ermilla, credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts, to get the latest episodes. The NBA is buzzing with a trade window having opened up on Monday afternoon. James Harden forcing his way from the Houston Rockets to the Brooklyn Nets, and the Milwaukee Bucks have retooled their roster around Giannis Antetokounmpo. What does it all mean? What's the next move for the Miami Heat? I'll talk about that throughout the show. Late Monday night, the Bucks reached a deal to acquire Drew Holiday from the New Orleans Pelicans. By early Tuesday morning, there was some follow-up announcement that the Bucks had also acquired Bogdan Bogdanović from the Sacramento Kings in a sign-and-trade deal, basically reshaping the backcourt from a team that won more regular season games than any other in the Eastern Conference. Eric Bledsoe and Wes Matthews were the starters. Now Holiday and Bogdanović are in their place. The parameters of the trade, I'll get to the Kings deal first. No picks involved in that one, but the Bucks do wind up sending Dante DiVincenzo, a fine young player, DJ Wilson, who was somewhat of a disappointment as a first-round pick, and Ersan Ilyasova, familiar to Heat fans for having been a guy who kind of just plays. He was there with the Philadelphia 76ers when the two teams met in the playoffs a couple years ago. He hit some big shots and was never really quite a consistent threat. He's a guy who can stretch the floor, doesn't do anything particularly well, but he's a player that's been traded almost everywhere. He's been to the Bucks several times, played with the Magic, played with the Thunder. He's just a guy who gets dealt all the time. But in any case, that was the three players that were sent to Sacramento in exchange for Bogdanović and Justin James, who was thrown in there just to make the numbers work. Bogdanović, really good shooter off the dribble and also in catch and shoot situations. So he does represent more of a threat than Wes Matthews, even at this point in his career. I think Matthews was the better defender than Bogdanović probably ever will, but Bogdanović clearly a better shooter, a guy who might fit Antetokounmpo better from the perspective of being a guy who can catch the ball when when Antetokounmpo drives the paint. He'll kick it out to a wide-open Bogdanović who will be able to knock that shot down a lot more frequently than either Bledsoe or Matthews. Now the Holiday deal. This is where it gets kind of crazy. The Bucks sent Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and three first-round picks and two pick swaps. The picks that they sent are one they had from Indiana in this upcoming draft in 2020, and then their first-round selections in 2025 and 2027. They've also thrown in pick swaps in 2024 and 2026. So that's a lot. For the Bogdanović deal, if they're willing to take on that contract and that sign-and-trade amount, whatever it is, it has not been confirmed as far as how much they're getting him to sign it, but it's not rocket science considering you can just match all those salaries and figure it out. At the same time, I like the addition there. There are ramifications for Miami that I'll get into in this segment, but as far as the acquisition itself, it's a good move. He's a young player, stretches the floor. He can contribute offensively for a team that really had no clear-cut solution on offense after Antetokounmpo got hurt in the playoffs. And that was the move there. I'm not sure how effective Bogdanović is during the course of the regular season. He's a fine shooter. He's never experienced the playoffs, having been in Sacramento for as long as he has throughout his career. But at the same time, I think he is a guy who can kind of contribute as far as a scoring out. From a scoring perspective, he's certainly a guy who can get out there, stretches the floor, and provide some playmaking and shot creation, something that had been missing because Antetokounmpo, such a key to that offense. As far as Holiday is concerned, wow, it just seems like that was a lot to give up for him. And I know that Holiday's on an expiring deal, sort of, where he has a player option for next year, but a lot of picks there. And this is from a guy who does not value the draft all that much. It does seem like a lot. This is where you start to get into that territory of how this impacts Miami. First and foremost, clearly, Holiday's off the books, sort of. You kind of figure that if Holiday's agreeing to this trade, he's probably going to opt into his deal next year, or if he opts out, he's looking to re-sign with the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm not sure the Pelicans had to necessarily get his approval for this. I don't know if, they were looking to move him, and I'm not so sure that they had to confer with him, look, we're going to send you to the Bucks or anything like that. I don't know that he had that kind of pull within the Pelicans front office. Either way, hopefully from Milwaukee's perspective, I guess they got some kind of acknowledgement or agreement that he'd opt in, that he'd be there for just this 1 year, because that's a lot to give up for a player who could theoretically be out after one season. It's happened before. We'll see what happens next year, but that's a whole other story. As far as this season, though, clearly Miami can't make that acquisition anymore. Now, Giannis, however, that seems also less likely to happen. There was possibilities that Adetokounmpo would be included in some kind of trade this year. As far as next season is concerned, that seems even less likely, because now with these moves being made, it's kind of it's a good faith showing to Adetokounmpo, who had asked for some retooling to be done before he signs that Supermax agreement. So he'll probably sign that agreement. He'll stay with the Bucks, and it'll make him a lot less likely, if impossible, outright to trade anytime in the future. So the Adetokounmpo dream to Miami is likely dead. The Holiday dream also dashed. And worse yet, I think, is the fact that the Holiday trade, because of the incredible package of picks and players that it took to pry a player like Holiday, who even last week I mentioned I wouldn't include Tyler Hero for, much less three first-round picks and two quality veterans. Look, Bledsoe was struggling. I understand that. George Hill, clearly at the tail end of his career, was never a great star or anything like that, but a solid contributor who can stretch a floor and play some good defense on occasion. But two quality players in the backcourt, a ton of first-round picks. Miami was never going to be able to offer that. They were never going to be able to match that deal. And unfortunately, though, the bar is set ridiculously high, because now Bradley Beal, if you're making that kind of a move for Jrue Holiday, a really good defender, solid scorer, great veteran presence, etc., for Bradley Beal, who's younger and a superstar and a multi-time all-star who can stretch the floor in ways that Holiday can't and is a great playmaker, solid defender, just all-around better player, what the heck is it going to cost? Like, who is going to be able to make that kind of a trade for a player like Bradley Beal? Forget any consideration of not being able to include a Tyler Hero. Now, any deal for any kind of star-level player is probably going to include at least Hero and maybe Duncan Robinson, not to mention a treasure trove of first-round picks. I don't know what I think. Well, how about this? I'll tell you what I think about the Milwaukee Bucks in the next segment, and I'll also talk about what this means for Miami a little bit more. Do they have any options left? I'll break it down on the number one Miami Heat podcast for the latest rumors, news, and more. The NBA draft is just a few hours away, and the Locked On NBA podcast is mock drafting every first-round pick. You probably heard the episode yesterday where I made the pick for Miami at number 20. Make sure you go and check that out. You hear the explanation for the selection. You hear a panel of experts break it down, and if it was the right choice for Miami, it was. Listen to the Locked On NBA podcast every day leading up to the draft to hear projections of each pick and expert analysis from Chad Ford, John Hollinger, Jeremy Wu, and others. And then on draft day, we'll be announcing all the picks live. We'll have a fresh stream covering the draft. It's fantastic. You won't get this kind of draft coverage anywhere else, so make sure you subscribe to the Locked On NBA today wherever you get podcasts. Let me tell you, I've been exhausted lately trying to keep up with everything going on around this trade deadline and the draft. At some point today, I'm just going to wipe out. I'm going to hit a wall, and it usually hits me in the early evening, but sometimes it's just all over the place, especially now that I'm getting less sleep than ever. I'm tired from work, or I'm tired from playing with my son, tired from trying to keep track of the latest Woj bombs, but whatever my wall hits, I know that Built Go is a solution for me. It's a healthy replacement to energy drinks without any of the fake additives, just natural ingredients that last. I don't have to make myself a coffee at midnight just to stay awake. Built Go comes in 1.5-ounce packages that are easy to carry wherever your wall and whenever it hits you, at a meeting, at work, or to power through a workout. Just put it in your pocket. Get through your day. It's the best workout gel on the market. It comes in three delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. How does it work so well? It combines energy gel with collagen protein that gets absorbed into your system quickly using vitamins and nutrients, honey, and a kick of caffeine to keep you going strong while strengthening joints, soft tissues, hair, and skin. You look good. You feel good. Visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. So use the promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Thank you. Staying up to date on the latest roster changes as well as my coverage of the NBA draft, subscribe to Locked On Heat on your favorite app to listen to podcasts and always get the newest episode. So before the break, I was talking about what it meant for the Milwaukee Bucks, and I think I have seen mostly optimism, I think, from Bucks fans. And it's worth considering because they usually have a good pulse of where they stand on the outside. We can only give our perspective, and it's usually a little bit off base. I think most people probably think Tyler Hero is a scrub and that Bam Adebayo isn't an all-star and things of this sort. So that kind of perspective, you have to understand. One of the things that I like to do on this show is present an unbiased, Freudian slip, I got me there. In any case, I like to provide an unbiased opinion because I think I'm a little bit more balanced than the usual media member or person that covers and follows a team and has for a number of years. Not quite a fan, not quite a media member in the sense that I'm just kind of plugged in to cover a team or anything like that. I talk to these players. I grew up following this team. It's a little different. I think I try to be, again, a little unbiased. I think you get to see that perspective that from the fans, they love this deal. To them, they're trotting out a starting lineup of Brook Lopez, Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Bogdanovic, and Holiday. And that is a really good lineup. I get it. You have to figure out some way of building up the rest of the roster. There's not much left. You're going to be signing other veterans. This is kind of what the Heat did in 2010. I don't know that you're going to get the same kind of players wanting to sign in Milwaukee. Robin Lopez opted out of his contract, and maybe he can re-sign there to play with his brother the way he did last year. It's a possibility. I think the bigger picture here, though, is that the Bucks are looking to make a title push yet again this year. They have to win it this year. One, because they are desperate and they are in total fear mode regarding the departure of Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think it was a very real possibility that Antetokounmpo told him, look, I'm out of here. If I don't see some significant change, I'm done. And this was the Bucks' way of guaranteeing that. They gave up a lot. Is it worth it? It could be. The jury's out. We won't know if it's actually quote-unquote worth it until they either win a championship or fall flat in the playoffs again. And if they do the latter, well, hell, Antetokounmpo can always request a trade. If we're seeing anything out of the Houston drama, it's that it doesn't matter how long your contract is, it doesn't matter what deal you have, it doesn't matter whether or not a franchise caters to your every whim, you can force a trade if you don't like the way things are going. And I think that while the organization doesn't have to trade away Antetokounmpo if he requests a deal next year or 2 years from now, they'll honor it because you want to save face around the league. You want to be the organization that looks at taking care of players and does everything they possibly can to appease their players. And when they make mistakes, then you say, you know what? I acknowledge that. I'm going to move you. I'm going to try and make up for the errors that I've done in the past. I don't know. I mean, on the surface, the deals make a lot of sense. Antetokounmpo all of a sudden is surrounded by better players that fit his skill set and can complement the players on that roster, the starting lineup, a little bit more effectively. I just also acknowledge that there is a stink of desperation about this. We won't ultimately know whether or not it pays off until after the season's over. It could wind up being a huge mistake. Mike Budenholzer is still the coach. He's still going to make the same kind of mistakes that he made over the last season, the year before that, and the previous few seasons before that. Whether he was in Milwaukee or Atlanta, he was going to do the same thing over and over again. And he did not show the kind of flexibility necessary, and which is why he lost to the Miami Heat and Eric Spoelstra. I don't know. Look, we're seeing a lot of things about Giannis Antetokounmpo coming to Miami. He's smiling at tennis players and saying, yeah, maybe, kind of, sort of. Why you got to stir things up? This is – Milwaukee has to do this. For their perspective, they have to make these moves. I totally get that. I'm not sure if it necessarily means that Miami's out. I think there's a – I'd say it's an 80-20% chance that Miami can acquire here. A 20% chance that Miami can acquire Antetokounmpo. It's not great, and it's not likely, but there's still a chance. Maybe it's 90-10, to be honest with you, because these kinds of moves, they can't be done without Adekumpo's approval. Like, he has to be able to sign off on this and say, yeah, that sounds like a great deal. Regardless, it doesn't make much difference if he just says, well, they're great, but we don't win. Ultimately, I need to go someplace that I know can win, and that's Miami. We'll see. We'll see whether or not he signs a Supermax. That won't happen until later on this week. And, of course, once and if he does, then I will make a show about that and what the impact is, what Miami does to move on, because they don't have a lot of options left. As I mentioned before, now Holiday's off the table. Now Adetokounmpo is likely off the table, at least this offseason. Bradley Beal's price tag just went through the freaking roof. What do you do? Where do you pivot? And I'm not so sure there's a clear answer that fans are going to like. In fact, I'm sure that everybody listening to this show is saying, oh, this is not what I wanted to hear. Everybody gets so worked up over the possibility of acquiring a superstar, of getting a Beal, of getting an Adetokounmpo, etc. And those moves happen a lot less often than you think. Miami's not going to acquire Russell Westbrook. They're not going to have enough to acquire James Harden. There aren't other disgruntled superstars forcing their way out this year. And so you're looking at the possibility of standing pat, making minor moves to improve a team that went to the NBA Finals. Now, whether they made that kind of run based on talent, based on the bubble, based on Eric Spoelstra's strengths as a coach and person, that's all true. There's a likely combination there that we'll never exactly know. But they were able to go very deep with a very good team. Would it have been enough if this is a regular playoff format where teams are traveling, et cetera? Probably not. Probably not. Probably would have been a little different if you had to travel to Milwaukee and face a crowd there. If you had to travel to Boston and face the Garden crowd. It might not have been the same thing. You might not have got the same performances from Bam Adebayo, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, the guys that were that stepped up on occasion. Jimmy doesn't give a shit. He's going to play well and do what he does regardless of where he is. But the other players on his roster probably would have been a little bit tweaked from the traveling back and forth to play elsewhere. In any case, as far as what they have on the table right now, this roster, yeah, you're going to lose Myers Leonard. He's gone. You might lose Jay Crowder. Maybe his options are drying up. But you can still add Crowder. Derrick Jones, again, likely out, as I've said before. If Goron, and that's a huge thing. Now, I haven't reported, I haven't talked about it because it's been, you know, covered, I think, up to this point. And the news broke last week that he's fully recovered from his tear. I'm not so sure how likely that is. The team hasn't said anything about it. But he's also open to signing with other teams, something that Heat fans do not want to hear. But it looks like Goran is going to be back and he's going to be able to play next season. Now you have the strength, the core of this team still on the roster. If you can sign Goran, if you can re-sign Jay, that's a pretty good group. If you can also sign other players, a Danilo Gallinari, a Wes Matthews, if Crowder doesn't sign here and you have to kind of change things around and you can add a Paul Millsap, that's a pretty damn good team. That's still a team that can knock off even the retooled Milwaukee Bucks or even the strong contending Boston Celtics. We haven't even seen what happens with Daryl Morey in Philadelphia. It's going to be an interesting couple of days for Miami. I'll talk about it a little bit more in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. You can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Please subscribe to the show and leave a review. I haven't heard from some of you in a while. I don't want you to leave multiple reviews, but if you are listening to the show for the first time, tell me what you think. I'm always open to criticism and especially open to any kind of compliments that you might be willing to pay. So just subscribe to the show and leave a review. As far as the Miami Heat are concerned, we're talking about what's next for them. It's not bleak. I think a lot of people in Heat Nation are kind of struggling with this idea. They're seeing what the Bucks were able to do. I don't think they've even considered the ramifications of the Beal deal, although we've heard from the Wizards general manager and Beal's own brother the exact same quote, Bradley's not going anywhere. So it seems like they're not intent on trading him this time around, this year, this offseason. And if that's the case, well, then that's a lot less likely of an option. You'd have to put together a hell of a package. But, again, I just don't even want to focus on that. because I'm not sure that there are other options available. Donovan Mitchell has to force a trade. Dame Lillard has to force a trade. Those things aren't likely to happen. I don't know that there's another superstar in the wings waiting to be dealt. You're not going after the Houston guys. They've already got deals in place, or they're too expensive in Westbrook's case. I don't know what the Westbrook deal, how it plays out, considering what we just saw for Jrue Holiday, because his value is less than Holiday's as a player, but his contract is so significantly more that I don't know if Houston and Raphael Stone, the general manager, the newly installed general manager for the Rockets, thinks that you can get any kind of adequate package for a player like that. That's a whole other matter. As far as the Harden deal is concerned, look, he's still been linked to Philadelphia, although we're hearing more and more that Tillman Fertitta is not interested in trading him to Daryl Morey, his former general manager with the Rockets, who's now with the 76ers. That seems unlikely to happen. Could Miami swoop in here somehow? Maybe. Are you willing to give up Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Kelly Olynyk, Andre Iguodala, and a couple first-round picks for James Harden? Is that better? I don't know. I don't know. I'm asking this question even as I'm saying these things out loud because I just don't know. Like, first of all, you need Harden's approval. That is what he would want. And if he's getting dealt anywhere, you have to reach out to him and make sure he's on board with this kind of potential deal here to come to Miami. You get Bam's approval. You get Jimmy's approval. You have to be able to make that move. But you're kind of blowing up the strength of this team. And the version of this team that Eric Spoelstra wanted this past season, which was a pass-first, friendly offense that moved the ball, attacked the paint, kicked it out to wide-open shooters, etc. Can he change? Yeah, he changed. He changed it from 2010 to 2014. He recognized what was necessary with a big three on the roster. He'll do it again. He can figure it out. That's Eric Spoelstra. We have no concerns about that. I just don't know if that's what he would prefer as the head coach. But that's a whole other story. From a franchise perspective, though, are you at a point where you're desperate enough to make any kind of move where you swing for the fences and acquire Harden, give up as much as it might take to pry him out of the Rockets? I don't think you are. I don't think you do that. I honestly don't think the Heat are in a bad place right now. And maybe I am the lone voice of reason here amongst the chaos and calamity. But I just don't think it's a bad place. Like, Boston's not making any significant changes yet, although we're hearing that Gordon Hayward is likely to be included in the sign-and-trade deal elsewhere. I'm not sure exactly what that might imply or what it might take. We'll see. Can Miami afford to stay pat? No, they can't. But they can make moves around the edges. Getting a Gallinari, a Matthews, a Millsap, another key contributor, a veteran player to fit here in this culture, that's good enough. You continue to do what you've done. And you acquire a couple of key veterans. You make the most out of their time here. You maximize their potential and their talent. And that's just what Miami does. And then you continue to work with Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. And hell, even Kendrick Nunn. And make sure you get the most out of them. You figure a way to make this team better. And you look to what you were able to accomplish this past season with Jimmy and Goran and Bam. And I think that's still a really good core moving forward. I don't think you have to be in a place where you feel desperate to make any kind of move. You want to make the right move. You don't want to make a move just for its own sake. To me, what Milwaukee did is a lot more desperate. That they read the writing on the wall regarding Adetokounmpo and said, we've got to make some changes. We're giving up a lot. We have to do this because we can't afford to lose him. And they might still lose him. They might lose Holiday. They might lose Adetokounmpo. We'll never know. But they had to give up so much in order to just at least put on the illusion that we want to do this for you. And I've said it before. I said it in terms of James Harden. I don't know that as a franchise you can ever afford to kowtow that much to an individual player. You handcuff yourself so much. We've seen it historically how badly that works out. The franchise and its own integrity has to remain first when it comes to team building. It has to. You cannot give up that much. You can try to make players happy. Lord knows the Miami Heat did everything they possibly could to accommodate Dwayne Wade. And certainly that they did a lot to accommodate Shaquille O'Neal before him and LeBron James afterwards. That's just the reality. But this organization is different. They are rock steady. This is the same front office, for the most part, that's been here for 25 years. They're not going anywhere, even if Pat decides to retire tomorrow, which you likely won't. And that's what you're. That's what makes you stand out. That's what makes you different, is that you just don't, you don't bend over and break yourself to accommodate a player. And I'm sorry, but you have to. What appeases mostly to players is winning and getting paid. And Adetokounmpo would have gotten paid here, and there's a good chance he might have won here as much as he ever will in Milwaukee, if not greater. Is the team that Miami could have built around Adetokounmpo, if he had come here next season, better than the one with Jrue Holiday and Brook Lopez? I think so. I absolutely think so. I think with Hero and Dragic in the backcourt, that's better than Bogdanović and Holiday to some extent. A little different, but more potential, perhaps. You also have Jimmy Butler, who's better than Chris Middleton. I think you have Bam Adebayo. You still have the option of signing a Gallinari and other players. We'll see. I think at the very least, Miami can make some moves this year so that they can be at the same level that they were last year as a contender, as a certain playoff team, and a team that just will continue to find a way to achieve their goals. They'll just work harder than everybody else, and I think they'll be able to find a way to continue to win. We don't know what's going to happen next season. There's so much uncertainty regarding the money that the league is making, allowing players and fans into arenas, the travel, the schedule, so much that the league has to work through. But I guess from the Bucks perspective, they just had to do something different. They had to try and do whatever they can to avoid losing Adetokounmpo for nothing. And they wound up giving up a lot in order to make that accommodation. So it may pay off for them. We'll see. If they can win a championship, it'll be their first one since 1971, I believe, is when Lou Alcindor, or was he Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at that point? I don't know if he had already converted to Islam. Miami in a strange place. I don't think it's that bad. Don't give up hope yet. Don't let go of the rope. Everything's fine. And I think Miami's going to be able to continue to build their team in a way that makes them a strong contender. We'll see what happens. I'll, of course, be here to cover it like always and to always break down the latest news, rumors, and more. Remember to get your team every day just by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat as soon as you get in your car. I'm David Ramil, signing off and thanking you, as always, for your support.